line to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 12th. Oh, nope. 11th of April.
Oh,
for some
today?
Reason, I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh.
It's today.
You're living in the future, silly.
Right?
Happy
there is no
day.
Future.
Live in the present.
There is no past. I take each moment as my last.
I see. Oh,
thank you to everyone who got that. And for everyone else, screw you. How about that? If you didn't get it. I don't care. Okay. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Have your friends tell you what it is. It's not that subtle. It's pretty obvious pop culture reference.
All right, move on.
But you don't get it.
Nope.
I'm joined today with Throw Your Hands Up in the Ayurts.
What's up?
It's Lindsay. And then for the first time ever here being a panelist, she keeps me in line all the time. Most of the time.
I try.
Like 85% of the time.
Sometimes you have to check up on me, too.
Yeah. It's Kate Lyon Lundquist.
Hello.
I don't know what your nickname is yet.
That's okay.
I think she's like a lion. Like,
rawr?
Hear her roar.
Right?
Ooh, yeah.
We'll
like
get there.
That.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if that's what comes
out
of her.
That one has to happen organically, though,
yeah.
Is what you're saying?
Like, I feel like you can't force lion if she's like, I'm not really a lion.
But I kind of feel like she's a lion.
I have a reputation already.
Yeah.
Well,
it's okay.
I think you're fierce, so it's like, I want you to be a lion.
Is fierce a thing that someone...
Fierce is a thing.
Yeah, but isn't fierce... I thought fierce was like, that gentleman is fierce.
No, it's like, she's fierce.
That's
is
a it? Chick thing.
Don't
oh,
mess
it?
With her. Yeah, she's
oh, okay.
fierce.
Very feminine.
I thought it was a feminine male thing.
Oh.
Like, he's fierce.
Oh,
well,
maybe. I don't
I guess
know.
It depends on where you are,
yeah.
what time of night.
Yeah, where you come from.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll get to know Kate in just a minute, but I want to know, what is new with you, Mom?
So I'm a mom. I don't know if you knew that.
Do you have a show where you talk about it?
I had a baby 18 months ago, and things are really tough, you know?
Yeah, things are difficult. Different than I thought it would be.
You know what? It is different than I thought it would be. Don't make fun of that, because I went through a lot of stuff like dealing with how different it was than I thought it was going to be.
Whoa.
So when you call me hypersensitive, yeah. I really get hypersensitive about it.
What do you think I'm hypersensitive? You'll go home to your husband.
I'm still not hypersensitive.
Do you really think he's hypersensitive? He said I was hypersensitive, but I don't think that I am. Do you think that I am? And he's like, babe.
Okay. So I have a show on KSL News Radio.
Yeah.
It's here.
It's locally. The Lord's station.
It is perceived as such.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Lord owns it.
It's true.
The corporate arm of the Lord.
The corporate arm of the Lord. It's true. And
you can podcast it.
You can.
Can you get it on iTunes, or do you have to podcast it through your guys' station?
I believe you can get it on iTunes.
Okay.
Or go to kslmoms.com. If you have the podcast app, it's not where you get podcasts. I don't listen to that many podcasts.
Yeah.
Just this one and mine.
Yeah.
If you go to
do you really go back and
app,
listen to yourself?
No, I don't.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No. If you go to the podcast app, you can search for KSL Moms or Mom Show.
Yeah.
And hopefully it should pop
I would
up
think
there.
That you would go back if you listen to yourself and be like, oh, come on. Ah,
well, do you know what? I get so much anxiety just from doing the show that
right.
when I go back and listen to it, it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, that was sounded stupid. Mm-hmm. Oh, that must have offended somebody. And it just makes it worse.
Right.
So I just like do it. And pray that it's all okay.
Yeah. And I didn't get fired today.
I know. And I didn't offend the masses. And I didn't get a letter from...
I get to come back next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
So
you go to run your card. Bleep.
Yeah.
Nope. Bleep.
My pass to get into the building.
No entree.
Yep. Yeah. And you're excommunicated.
Oh. That's how it works.
Right.
You don't just get fired when you
right.
work for the church.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, you work here. Yeah, you know what? We don't even...
Yeah, we can't.
Well,
no, there's a lot of non-members, obviously, that
sure.
work for KSL.
Sure.
You don't have to be a member to work there.
No. You just have to love a member.
Well, you have to...
Tolerate a member.
Pay attention to the standards of the members and be okay with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's new? You're a mom of 18 months?
No, that's not new.
What's new? You're doing a hike soon,
I'm
right?
I'm doing a hike. Yeah, that's
Let's
what's
talk
new.
About it.
So it's called Climb Out of the Darkness. This is the second... locally, fourth nationally. So the second year we've done it in Salt Lake City.
You brought it to Salt Lake last year, right?
I did. Yeah, we started it in Salt Lake City last year. It's a national nonprofit organization called Postpartum Progress, and they have these
climbs.
It's
the Triple P.
Triple P, man.
Yeah.
And they have these climbs in every city, and I host the one here in Salt Lake City. And we're climbing Ensign Peak on June 18th to symbolize the climb that it is from postpartum issues, one
sure.
of which I suffered from. We're doing it on the longest day of the year or closest to the summer solstice to shine as much light as we can on maternal mental health.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just want to raise awareness and just normalize this issue and normalize this conversation, and then also raise funds for Postpartum Progress because they run off the support of people.
Could I ask a question? And I swear it is genuinely me asking
Please,
about it.
Please, absolutely.
So postpartum.
Yep.
You have the baby. That's when the postpartum comes, right? Because it's postpartum. Because
sure.
Like partum, I'm assuming, means something to do with having a baby inside you.
Yes.
So postpartum, you have the baby, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, bah, right? And we've talked about some of the issues in the past. So if you have another baby, is it sort of like when you get the diabetes as being a pregnant woman where it's like, well, I'm going to get the beaties again. you know what I'm saying? Like, is postpartum a thing where
that's
it's
the worst.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is it postpartum where it's like, there's a baby. Or is it something that you can be aware of, cognizant of, and then it can be not as big a deal or not even a deal?
So I have to be honest, this is one of my biggest fears about having another baby. I'm not scared to actually have another kid. I'm scared of dealing with postpartum issues again because I was so blindsided by it the first time. Now, because I'm so much more aware, because I know what my triggers are, I know how my brain works, I know sort of why it was caused, what stress factors went into it.
Sure.
I am so much more aware, and I've learned so much about coping with anxiety and coping with my anxieties that I am much, much more prepared. However, I am at higher risk because I've had it once before.
Sure.
Clearly, there's something in me, whether it's hormonal, biological,
a baby.
Physiological, whatever. That predisposes
you,
me to some sort of postpartum mood disorder, and I hate it. I hate that it happens. I'm hoping it will be less next time. I hope.
Because the plan is to have another kid, right?
Yeah.
At least he's not going to be an only child.
No, there's a plan in there to have another kid at some point, but I seriously think about this every day. It's like,
it's so common right now.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you're talking about it, actually.
Well,
yeah.
I love talking about it because I don't feel the shame in talking about it that
people talk
about. I feel shame in some of the thoughts and feelings I had about Lucy. That's where my shame and guilt comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I still deal with those and figure out how to cope with those feelings. But I don't feel shame that I had it. And I don't feel shame that it happened to me because it could happen to anyone.
Right.
I really, really was blindsided by it. I feel the need to talk about it just so that other women aren't blindsided.
And I don't feel like most women actually know that they have it.
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
Like sneaky. Yeah. It's not like the diabetes where you go, man, I got to pee all the time. My sugar is.
You can't just, there's not just one test that tells you, oh, you have this. You know, there are a myriad of symptoms. And that's kind of one of my main messages about this illness is that I wasn't dealing with a typical quote unquote definition of postpartum depression.
Right.
I wasn't sitting in my sweatpants all day crying. I was having really horrific
thoughts. She was in her sweatpants, but she wasn't crying.
True. And there was a lot of crying.
Yeah.
But I was having really horrific thoughts about hurting my baby and myself, and I knew I wasn't capable of either of those things. So the juxtaposition between those two things was causing me severe anxiety, and I had to figure out where they were coming from. And so I can talk about them now because to me they're just something that happened. They don't define me. They don't make me a bad mom. They just happened to me. They were a manifestation sort of what the anxieties that I was dealing with. And so once I learned what they were, once I learned how to relieve some of that anxiety, I found a lot of relief. So if any women,
how does Hubs feel about it?
You know
is
what?
Hubs like, woo, or is he no, we're good. We're in a good place.
Seriously, he's the most amazing man. Like
handsome anyway. I don't know about amazing,
so
but
handsome.
He is the most handsome.
I gotta tell you about our deal we set up, by the way.
Okay.
It doesn't involve you.
Ah, well then why do I care?
I know, because it's funny.
Okay. Is it something we can talk about here or is it
something? Yeah,
okay.
We can talk about it. Yeah. No, it's not inappropriate.
Okay.
He never once made me feel like I was crazy. I felt like I was going crazy in my head because those thoughts, they're cyclical, right? And they make you spin and spin and spin and you feel crazy in your head. He never once made me feel like I was a danger to myself or to my baby. Like if he had looked at me and been like, I'm not sure that I trust you with our child right now, then it probably would have made it 10 million times worse.
Sure.
And I pray that every woman that is going through this gets that type of support because for me that was huge and other people in my life, my mother too and other people. But he now can talk me out of anxieties like like that.
Yeah?
Like, yeah, he just knows what to say. And I don't even think he knows he's doing it. Yeah. He just knows, like, what to say. Yeah. He may not even realize he knows, because I think for him, he's like, I didn't know how to help you. I didn't know what to do. And I was like, you did everything right. Like,
I love you.
Seriously. But not
just
all women.
Just because I'm wearing sweatpants and crying doesn't mean.
I know. Not all women have that support. And postpartum mood disorders can take a huge toll on relationships because the partner's at a loss for what to do. And they're
just
like,
as much as you're blindsided, the partner's like, listen,
this is
like
not
a month ago,
right?
You were not like this, and I have no idea what's going on or how to deal with this. Yeah, you bet.
It's so true. And so, yeah, I mean, he was amazing during it, and I'm so grateful that I had that support. But yeah, it's a rocky road, and I hope that anyone that's going through it can find, you know, there's immediate relief that just like takes the sting away, and then there's long-term healing from it. And I fortunately have healed both long-term and in the short term, but I still manage these anxieties on a daily basis.
Where can people get more information?
If you go to climboutslc.com, mm-hmm. that is my website for the climb, and it has links to Postpartum Progress. But if you are suffering, postpartumprogress.com was a website that I found a post called, "Does Having Scary Thoughts Mean I'll Act on Them?" And that, when I found that post, I was like, oh my gosh, thank you for telling me this is what I'm going through. You know, like I didn't think these thoughts were common. I thought they were out of the blue. I thought I was this horrific person that was now having these thoughts about my child. And that website and that post really normalized it for me. So
cool.
And they have a great warrior mom support group. They have anonymous forums where you can go and like talk about your symptoms if you're not feeling comfortable.
Sure, you're ashamed or whatever.
Or talking to even your spouse. You can be anonymous and you can say, this is what I'm thinking and feeling. And they respond to you. And obviously, if you feel in serious need, if you feel like you need serious help, like you're going to harm your child or you're going to harm yourself, please call 911 and seek professional help. I'm not a licensed therapist to talk about how to talk you out of that, but I can talk about the issues that affected me.
Okay. And how Tell me about the deal now with your husband, and then we got to get to know Kate.
I'm sorry. I'm taking all this time.
No,
you're fine.
It's important.
This is not the Lindsay podcast show and podcast form. I hate doing dishes so badly that I offered.
I've seen that at your house.
Yeah, if my husband does the dishes, I give him a massage for half amount of the time.
Yeah.
He does the dishes. So if he does an hour's worth of dishes, I give him a half an hour massage. And I will tell you, I hate giving massages so much, but I hate doing dishes that much more.
Really?
That sounds like a deal that my house is probably going to adopt.
Yeah. Do the deal, man. Find something that like you, like a massage is something I really don't like doing, but I don't
like
doing
dishes.
But
does he really like it?
Yeah, he does. And he knows not to ask for a massage because I hate it so much.
Right.
But I hate the dishes that much more.
Is it on-demand massage? Like, so if I do the dishes at your house and we're married, I do the dishes tonight and it takes me an hour, like I can be like, pay up, half an hour tonight.
Yeah.
Or is it like it in reserve?
Well, I guess it depends. My husband's not unreasonable. He's not going to make me.
Do they have to pile up?
Well, that's the problem is in our house, they pile up a lot.
Okay.
So this is a deal that like when there's no more room in the sink, like they have to be
so
done.
So it's a total investment.
It kind of is an investment.
Okay. He's like 90-minute massage. I was in the kitchen for 3 hours tonight.
But this doesn't mean that I shouldn't do the dishes. I'll still do the dishes. But I just like knowing I have that out is like so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's
what
our
a great deal.
It's our deal, man. So find something that works.
Handsome
in your
dishwashing
marriage.
Husband.
I know. He's great.
All right, Kate, let's get to know you.
All right.
Kate, she really is, as far as the cultural hall goes, for people who don't know, she is the one who cracks said whip, makes sure that I do the things that I'm supposed to do, that I say I'm going to do, assigns all of the blog writers and all that stuff, and follows up with them, and whenever we have our meetings, which is not nearly often enough.
I know. I miss you guys.
She'll take the notes and say, hey, you said you were going to do this. Did you do that yet? Nope. How about doing it? And then we get it done. But beyond that, pregnant...
Quite pregnant.
Yeah. You know what, though?
I feel like I'm huge, and people keep telling me, oh, they're like, oh, you're not very big. I'm like, that's kind of offensive.
It's hard when you feel really big, huh? That you're just like, don't tell me how.
But it's but it's twins, though.
It's twins.
Yeah.
You have twins in there?
Yeah.
Okay, whoa. So there we go. We're justified.
Well, right. I'm not saying... I'm saying you look great based on how you feel.
Thank you. That was sensitive.
The right proportion to how you feel.
Yeah.
Congrats.
I think you look big. Is that terrible to say?
No
I'm just teasing.
It's true. I mean, I think it's kind of like a badge of honor. You know,
right.
I want to be huge. You know,
yeah.
carrying these babies. You know, this is my first time. I want them to be big and healthy and strong. And they're like, oh, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah, you're like, well, I guess yeah. I'll go eat some more. I mean, I guess I can do that. I think that you look healthy, genuinely
yeah.
healthy. There
and
are sometimes
don't...
people that I'm like, gugh. You know, like yeah. On both sides of the spectrum where you're just like, yeah, but I think something's out of balance here.
Yeah,
yeah right? Like,
yeah.
is there 10? Because I'm pretty
yeah.
sure. Or there it's like, you're 6 months along. We should see a bump,
right.
pal.
My OB made me cry. She was like, I think we need to slow down on the weight gain. And I was like, ooh, hey, sad.
That was my very first question last week. I walked in, sat down, didn't even say hello. I'm like, am I big enough? And yeah. she's like, you're good.
Yeah. And,
so,
and
all right.
in all reality, the less weight you get, I mean, you want to gain a healthy amount of weight, right? But
right.
you want it to be gone when you're done having babies.
True.
So
kind of worry about that factor later.
Yeah. Worry about it later. But
yeah.
You are?
Well, I don't know if you guys know, but we struggled with infertility for
yeah,
a long
I was gonna
time.
Get into I was gonna get yeah. into that, but I didn't know if you wanted to or
oh,
not.
Oh no, I'm so open about
then
it.
Then let's talk about
whatever
it.
You wanna know.
Right, because you've been married for how long?
We've been married just over 4 years.
Right. And how long ago were you like, kids, let's do it?
Well, that's the funny thing. So I am a little over 6 years older than my husband. So when I met him, he was 26. He wasn't
scandalicious.
All about it. I know.
Dude,
that's what
I'm a cougar
saying.
Too. That's
Lion,
how you gotta do it.
Puma, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meow. So, you know, when
she's
we,
a lion,
when,
not even a cougar.
Meow,
a
meow,
lion.
Meow.
Doesn't lion fit now that you
now
know?
Listen,
she's,
I'm still
we'll
reserving judgment.
We'll or
there.
Cougar, we call you cougar.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Puma's better than a cougar.
But her middle name is Lion, so you
I
can't
know.
Do cougar with lion
that,
being the
is
middle.
Is that your maiden name?
Maiden
not
name.
Your
yeah.
middle name.
It's her middle name.
That's her Facebook middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not her middle name.
As far as social media goes, it's her middle name.
It's all right. Call me whatever you want.
Okay.
Kate.
Well, Sister Lundquist.
There we go.
So, you struggled for a while, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were dating, my husband, I was just like, I'm on the 5-year plan. I know I'm older, but not looking for anything. He's like, well, we'll see. 5 months after we were married, he's like, I need kids.
Your husband was.
Oh, yeah.
I need kids.
Yeah. He's like, I need kids. And this man is a man that needs kids.
Yeah?
We are primary teachers, and he loves these kids. It's the cutest thing ever. So.
Like dress up for the lessons kind of guy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Act it out? I'm Nephi, and the kids are chopping him at the kneecaps. Ow!
I'm not
I
kidding.
Love it.
I have a. It's on Instagram. You should see this. So he has a man bun. They love to tease him about his man bun, and he eats it up. He has a little complex about it that the kids tease him about it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's all good. So he loves these babies, and this is like our pride and joy right here, and
right.
talks to them, and
that's cute.
It was
so let's back it up a little bit though, because that
yeah.
can be a huge tax on a relationship for
it
sure
was,
if you're like
sure.
hey
yeah
let's do this, what's the deal, is it you or is it me?
It's true, we did a lot of testing, we did all of that for about 3 years. So the first year nothing happened. We did 8 artificial inseminations.
Oh, gosh.
Got pregnant on the second, but I miscarried and couldn't get pregnant again after that.
Ugh.
So it's pretty heart-wrenching. And I was never that girl that was like, I can't wait to have babies. I wasn't that maternal girl. I'm an only child. I didn't grow up with
girl,
nieces
I feel
and nephews,
that way too.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing,
yeah.
and especially in our culture.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
So how do they talk you into it? Because if he's like, hey, I want a baby, and you're like, meh. I mean, that to me seems like two really different things. Was it just like, well, I know I do cognitively yeah. want a family, so
right.
I guess I'll just, yeah.
The age thing was pushing it for me. So I was like, okay, I need to get on board. But then seeing him with kids, it just melted my heart.
Right.
Like, what? I'd be crazy not to. I mean, there's women that just want babies and men that are just like, no thanks, you know? And
right.
Ben, my little sweetheart, is just, he just is a little huddle when it comes to kids, and he's always been like that. So
it's going to be different with your own. It's going to be like, this thing won't stop crying.
Yeah. And I keep telling him that, and he doesn't believe me.
He's like, can't give this one back. You realize you can't send them off to their parents
no,
after sunbeams.
You can send them away.
To
ours
the
aren't close enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to help out?
I will help
just
you
saying.
Because I know what it's
Sweet.
Like. I will
if
help you,
you want to trust a kid with me, that's 100% up to you.
We'll
that's,
see.
That's what's so great. I make the offer. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll watch your kid.
How many people have taken you up on that?
Zero.
Yeah,
and it's
okay.
so great because I don't have the
head,
I don't have the guilt. I don't have the guilt of I'm not watching kids because I make the offer. You bet. I'll watch them. You bet.
Your
Can I do
there.
That?
Your heart's there,
yeah.
Richie.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. I would never trust my child with you.
Right?
Because my child is like, she's crazy and she runs around and she's
right.
into everything, and you would just not you not right. be there.
No.
So she's good. She's by the electrical outlet.
Yeah, like, why fine. Doesn't she get it that she can't not yeah. like?
You know what?
Touch that.
She'll learn.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why I'd be the great uncle or the great babysitter, right? Those lessons that you guys are far too overprotective to let your kids learn on their own. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The mom where it's like, no, don't do that. I'd be like, yep. They learned. Don't touch that today because it's hot. And you know what's not going to happen again?
You wouldn't.
That
know.
Hand. That.
Mm-hmm. No. I'll talk. That wouldn't happen when it was your kid.
You know, I'll be 100% honest with you. With my kid, I am a little that way.
Right?
I am a little, hey, you know what? I disagree, but there is no amount. And my kid was older, certainly when, you know, I get involved with his life. But no, there was times that I'm like, I know how this ends. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah, you bet. Because it's the only way, and you guys will get this, and you'll be like, oh, I thought Richie was just an idiot. But you'll get this way where you're like, you know what? I should have allowed him in a safe environment, or he or she, in a safe environment to fail or to make a mistake or something like that. Because otherwise, it's...
I think I'll be able to do that when it comes to, like, other issues outside of, like, sticking your finger in an outlet or yeah. like
physical death
or yeah. sucking on Desitin or whatever she's doing right now, know. You yeah. know, but yeah. like,
we'll see.
I don't know. The sucking on Desitin was one of my favorite
caught
things.
Her this morning with a handful of wipes in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then I had to watch her all day. Like, is she going to die? Like, yeah. is she like poison right now? I've already called poison control once.
They're like, what's up, Lindsay? How did you know it was me?
I'm afraid to call back because I don't yeah. want them to like keep a running tab of
they
all
probably
the,
do.
The
I'm sure they
I've
do.
Called.
It's the woman from the mom show.
She has no idea what she's doing.
So in vitro, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we got to that stage. We did, after our eighth failure,
oh my
Ben
gosh.
Is like in tears. I'm not kidding. He has such a sensitive heart. And he said, babe, I can't do this anymore. He's like, I don't care what it costs. Let's make this happen. And I'm sitting here. I'm the logical money person, the numbers girl.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh no, this is cannot happen. You know, I'm like, why be stressed for a couple of years to pay for children that we don't even know are going to for sure get here? And he talked me into it. And
does it start to question yeah. plan, like God's plan for having kids for you? Because I feel like after like three times, I'd be like, all right,
oh,
God,
totally.
I get it.
Yeah.
I don't need to get to eight.
Totally.
I got it after three.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, you want to be adopted? Get the goose from the window across the way and come up here, Tim. You know what I'm saying?
Every time we saw children, we're like, should we steal that one? I mean, they'd yeah. be better off with us, you know. But, you know, I don't know.
I think it's hard, too, for... from my point of view, for moms that have children, and it was easy for me to get pregnant, you know, that wasn't my struggle. But then I, you know, it makes me feel like, oh man, like all she wants to do is have a baby, and here I am just complaining about my baby, you know, like I know a lot of moms
yeah.
feel that way.
I totally felt that way against people who, you know, you see the news and you're like, what is God's plan? Why is that okay? And then we could provide a somewhat stable home.
Right.
right. Yeah, but
notice
these
how she
jack
gave
wagons
the
get kids. Yeah.
She gave the caveat of somewhat stable.
Right. There will be therapy, let's yeah. be honest. So we're okay with that.
A boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. right?
Yeah.
Now they can be done.
See, I think, yeah, you get it done in one shot, and now you're done.
Yeah, well, Ben has other plans, so.
Yeah.
Jeez, Ben, let's calm it down a little bit, okay? Yeah. Oh. No need to be an overachiever.
What is he talking? Another couple?
Well, we have one egg frozen, so he definitely insists on trying on that, yeah. and he wants to adopt as well.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah, there's no reason if you guys can't afford it, and if you want it, why not?
I know. It's been rough. Pregnancy's hard. Moms rock.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is hard.
The uncomfortable? The heat?
No. It was like...
The sex appeal? Because that's what I feel like would be the problem.
You know what? He actually, that's not a problem. Like,
no, no, no.
One that feels like, oh, you find
it's
sure?
harder. It's harder for the woman, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, what's the big deal? I'm like, there's a lot that's a big deal. like,
this?
Me?
Yeah. This big deal?
Yeah.
I'm cranky. I can't eat anything.
How
everything
far
makes
are
me
you?
Sick.
How far along?
21 weeks.
Okay.
So we're.
Hold on.
You're
months.
In second trimester, right?
Today. Yeah.
Yeah. So
today.
It'll start to come back a little bit.
Yeah.
Second trimester.
So we're over halfway. We're over halfway.
Nice.
It's all good. Yeah.
You have a little calendar like for missions where you put a little sticker on each day?
No.
Like, it's almost to the top of the angel, Moroni.
Like the apps, though, like the baby apps. He likes to watch those. He's like, oh, we didn't watch our video this week to find out, like, oh, they're covered in hair. Did you know that happens?
My,
I can't remember what it's called.
My baby's the size of an avocado right now.
Yeah, or there was something weird. What was it the other day? It was like an endive. What's an endive?
I don't
vegetable
know.
Or something? I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
No,
I have no idea what that is.
It was kind of exciting when it was like an army figure or something. Yeah. Something I could actually understand, but I don't know what that is. But it's fun. Hmm. We're having a good time.
Boy and a girl. Names? Do you have names already?
We do.
Let's hear them.
Luke Eben.
Eben?
Eben.
Like Ebenezer, but without the kneezer?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a Swedish name. Very, very Swedish. He's like...
Ben's very Swedish?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a hairy Swede. He will never go bald.
So he gets to pick the boy and you get to pick the girl name?
Somewhat. Luke is his little brother's name that passed away several years ago.
Oh,
so
dude.
That's in tribute to him.
Oh, cool.
That's
and then
a great
Eben
name, too.
Is his, actually Ben's middle name. So it was his great-grandpa's name. We decided to go that route.
Yeah.
So Luke Eben.
Familial tribute.
Right.
So then girl?
Olivia Kate.
Okay.
Cute.
Yes, I'm naming my daughter after myself.
Yeah. Well, she was in there for 9 months.
Wrong
so.
With that.
No, that's been a complex of mine, but it's a family name. We're both using our middle name. Well, I guess it's my first name, but yeah. So there you go.
Cool.
Luke and Livy.
Oh, cute.
Right? Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah, I love it.
So awesome.
I love it.
That sounds great.
Can't wait to steal your kids.
Right?
Should we steal those?
Should
kids?
I tell her now that this is the honeymoon stage?
Oh, yeah.
Should I like burst your bubble?
No.
I'm terrified already.
Let's talk off the air.
All right.
We'll get real.
I know.
I don't want to...
Just be aware, that's all. That's awareness, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you're pregnant, there's really like... Everyone's like, oh my gosh, how exciting, you're pregnant. And then you have the babies and you're like...
I know.
What do I do?
I'm going to work as well and I don't have family
I'm getting anxiety
like,
for
get
you.
Get rid of them. I don't know what I'm going to do. So
it's really hard.
The Lord will work it out.
Right?
He's told me it's right, so it's right.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. I mean, really, quite honestly, because like if you go back to work and it's like, this isn't right, then you just don't work anymore.
And that's what I did. I was at work full time and I was like, I don't know how moms do this. I can't hack it. And I decided to stay home. And I never thought I'd be a stay-at-home mom. Never.
I would love to be in. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that part of my life has changed. Like, I was always that girl, like, I'm going to work. My kids are going to go to daycare. Like, because that's what happened to me. My mom, you know, worked and she was independent, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. It's like now that I have them and it took me so long to get them here and I had horrible experiences at babysitters with kids, you know, when I was a kid. And
sure.
I'm like, I don't want anyone to corrupt my children. That's my job now. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I'll ruin them just fine. Thank you.
I don't need any help. But yeah, we're good.
So when's the due date?
Technically August 22nd. They won't let me go past August 8th though. So
yeah, because we'll twins, see. You'll be lucky if you make it. Right. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, right? Like middle of July, probably. They'll be like, squeak, we're out.
You've never had a kid, have you?
Yeah, but
you?
No,
like,
but
biologically.
I hear it takes a while.
No, but like two kids, they're pushing for the same room that one kid would, and it's like, nope.
I've never had twins either, but yes, labor your first time does take a while. I swear your body doesn't really know what it's doing.
It's a good thing, so I got a ways to go if it happens when we're at home.
Right.
If we have to drive all the way up here to LDS Hospital, woo.
I don't know. I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens that fast like it does in the movies for everyone. I know there are those stories that you always hear.
Like you sneeze. Hey, catch that.
Or like in
the
a
Doritos
van
commercial.
Or whatever. But like labor itself typically is like, you know, you labor for hours before you even go to the hospital. So
that's why they call it labor.
Oh my gosh.
Labor
sucks so bad. Sucks so bad.
I know.
Children are beautiful.
Yeah.
They're a gift.
Yeah.
They're a blessing from heaven.
And expensive.
When are these children coming down?
Have you seen that yet?
Yes, I have.
I haven't seen it. How was I in it in Saturday's Warrior? Was I good?
Have you
seen it, Kate?
I have not yet.
Oh.
I've actually never even seen any of them, so we've
shame
got
on you. You got to watch the old one first.
We will.
Have you done a Saturday's Warrior episode yet? Are you doing the official review?
We've done, yeah.
Okay.
We did a review and... two interviews with the director and such.
Okay. Yeah.
What did you think?
Richie got an official, like, audible cheer for his cameo in Saturday's Warrior.
I actually already knew that. I just wanted to hear it again.
You just wanted me to say it. No, seriously, we're like sitting in the movie and then the jogger comes by and he's like, what's your line? Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I said.
And everyone's
like,
were
there any catcalls or any whistles or anything like that?
Yeah, it was like the only cameo that got an audible cheer, except for they made reference to Captain Uchtdorf. And that got a laugh. And there was a few other giggles in there, but nothing like an audible cheer that Richie
nothing like an audible woo for me. Let me think if there's anything exciting going on for me, and then we'll go ahead and take a break and get into actual articles of news. A whole lot of theater.
Mm-hmm. Still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. New show.
Oh, really?
Murder on the Front Runner Express. Okay. I play the butler.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's always
I thought
butler.
You just did that.
Yeah, maybe it is. You don't know. You haven't seen the show.
I already know.
And I get to wear a tuxedo with tails the whole time.
That's you feel fancy.
What? I got a fake tattoo. It's totally rad. I'll make sure that Anna shares the picture. Did you see the pictures of it?
No, for the play or just for cuz?
I know.
For over the weekend. Temporary tattoo.
Okay.
It's a really stupid joke.
Is it tough?
No, it's rad. You'll have to check it out. I'll show you a picture before I post it on
Instagram. It actually says rad,
well,
right?
Don't ruin the joke.
Sorry.
But yes, it does.
It was a joke.
So you can check that out. I'm trying to think of anything else that might be exciting, and I don't know that there. Oh, I got a calling.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
I am going to be teaching once a month the Elders Quorum.
Uh-oh.
And
watch
here's
out,
the best
world.
Part about my Elders Quorum, and I'm kidding you not. There is a guy who teaches Elders Quorum, and I absolutely love him. He, for the majority of his life, has not been an active member of the church. And so he's still kind of in that honeymoon phase with the church where he's determining what's appropriate and what's not appropriate to talk about in church. And so yesterday's lesson, as he taught Elders Quorum, he talked about how he used to have his ears pierced. And how he had to get both ears pierced so that he wasn't gay. And anyhow, he had two in the one side, because if you had two on the other side, it meant you were gay. And he went on this tangent for 3-4 minutes about,
bless his heart,
you know, which ear his earring had to be in to mean that he wasn't gay. It was great.
That's
it
made awesome.
And I just sat there and I was like, you know what? This may upset some people, but I absolutely love this.
Elders
so much.
This is what
just
church
so much.
Should be like. Like,
right?
Don't you want to have real conversations when you go to church sometimes?
Yeah.
One of the bishopric members yesterday said that her mother-in-law was moving in and that her husband was now going to have to wear clothes over the pulpit.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you can see everybody tense up. I was like, yeah.
Oh, and I will say this. Yesterday, today, Monday, so Sunday, I went down to Temple Square. Oh, my gosh. Get to Temple Square if you live in Utah in the next week. The tulips on Temple Square right now are unbelievable. So gorgeous. But I noticed this because I walked all around Temple Square and I walked all around the conference center. Conference center, the main facade of the conference center where you see in the end sign and all that stuff, it faces south, right? Mm-hmm. So the flowers and there's the little river that runs along the sidewalk and it's just immaculately landscaped. But do this sometime. Go to the north side of the conference center.
It's where the dumpsters are.
And, right? There's no flowers in the flower bed. There's not bark or a ground cover. Like, you kind of get on that side of it and you're like, what, did they forget? Did we run out?
Warehouse back here?
Do I need to pay 11%? We can get a tulip over here? It really is. And then you kind of come around to the east side and you come around to the west side and it's gorgeous again. But that north side of the conference center, you come out and go, what happened?
They really don't have enough tithing funds for that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that corporate arm of the LDS church is hurting pretty bad.
It's going to my paycheck.
Yeah.
That's where it's going.
Well, that's why there's no money.
Right.
You made it so that we couldn't have a north facade of the conference center.
Because of the mom show.
So gorgeous, but it really is funny. You kind of go... What?
That is the shipping dock side.
Yeah.
So maybe,
Maybe it's just utilitarian. They just can't have flowers. Maybe.
Well, and the other side, the other thing is on the north side, it's shadier, so things have a harder time growing. And I understand it, but it really is stark 180 degree difference when you're I love the flowers. La 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 loo. Whoa. What? What
don't
happened
go on
here?
On that side, Richie. It bothers you.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Don't recognize that there even is that side.
Just close your eyes.
Let's take a break and come back and do actual articles of news.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. A lot of people ask me if a gaming console or a gaming PC is better. Gaming consoles do one thing. They play games and usually come with a one-year warranty. A desktop or laptop computer from PC Laptops plays games and allows you to learn real career skills like Photoshop, video production, and business skills so you can make a living with technology. Technology that makes you money. Amazing. PC laptops, desktop computers start from only $799. Hand-built right here in Utah with a lifetime parts and labor warranty. You simply can't find anything like this backed by an amazing lifetime warranty anywhere. It's downright impossible. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers covered forever with a lifetime warranty starting at $799. Because at PC Laptops, we love you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Listen, I just don't feel like I can relate.
You know what? Me and Kate need to talk about woman stuff. Yeah.
You know what? Do
She's
this.
She's pregnant. I've been there.
Here. You ready for this? Uh-huh. I'm making an offer.
Okay.
You get you a therapist or a counselor for postpartum. It's an episode. I'll do it.
Hi, I'm doing one on the Mom Show this coming Sunday.
Okay. So that doesn't that doesn't help me.
You want me to have Kristen come on again? That's when I'm going to come in.
Yeah.
Kristen Hodgson.
Yeah, have her come on with us. We'll do a postpartum episode.
I love it.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay.
And
you have to schedule it.
I'll sit in the back and cry.
That's not my life.
And we're doing that on Mother's Day on the Mom Show on KSL as well.
Okay.
Shameless plug.
All right.
Yep.
So do it.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen, everyone, it's Lindsay, throw your hands up in the A-Yurt's fault.
I'll do it.
All right. One thing that I failed to mention, a huge congratulations to DJ Rob and the life of the party. He was named a Best of State recipient.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah. He'll talk about what that means, but Best of the State of Utah. He is the best DJ in the state of Utah, according to Best
like
of State.
All over the place, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's in New York right now watching the Mets lose.
Yeah. But he like is like a big deal.
Yeah,
like,
just ask
himself
him.
Himself into a good DJ. You know.
And he has amazing people that work for him.
Right?
Yep.
Like you.
And I happen to be a Best of State winner by default, right?
Right.
I mean, right?
Resume material.
You're only one degree away.
Well, I technically work for the company that's Best of State, so technically I'm a Best of State winner.
Okay, if you want to tell yourself that.
No, could I not? You don't think I can count it that way? I mean, it's obviously his hard work, but I am part of the company, right?
He's going to be so mad at you for taking credit
for it. No, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm giving him all the credit, but I am part of the company.
Whatever, Richie. Sure.
Right? Yep. He invited me to the gala.
Oh, all right.
And is recognizing me as part of the company. So technically, I feel like, though 98% his work, that like 2% was me.
I was going to say, how can you actually claim responsibility for this award? Like, what have you done to claim
I work for him. I'm one of his crews. I go out and DJ for him.
Okay.
Like, he's like hey, I can't go. Like 2% of the time. Like 2%.
All right. Whatever you're great.
You're not going to give me 2%?
I'll give you 2%. That's
right.
That's fine.
So I am 2% of a Best of State company.
Do you own 2% of the company?
No. So do I have to? But like, he couldn't have all the company without me. So I feel like I'm 2% responsible.
Okay. I'm sure he'll thank you.
Yeah. Well, he did. He invited me to the thing.
Okay. I'm not arguing with you.
You know what? I can go to 1%. Will that make you feel better if I'm 1%?
2% is great. How many other DJs work for the company?
There's like 7 of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus him. So 8. Plus his wife. So 9.
So you're a network.
Maybe there's 10. Yeah. It's a network.
All right.
And he's the boss man.
Great.
So I feel like 2% is not that much.
I'm not. It's great.
So
I'm done with the conversation. You're still going.
But I need to ask you something.
Okay.
Validation.
So if I put it on Facebook, can I say that I'm a Best of State winner?
Why don't you just congratulate your friend for all his hard work?
But can it be like my boss?
Okay, sure.
Because then I feel like it gives not only attribution for how amazing he is, but also it makes me look amazing.
Okay, great.
Okay.
do it.
2%. Let's do some actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right. Now, we didn't talk about what articles we have. A little bit lighter week because we did two episodes of articles of news last week. So we can kind of get into it. And I'll go first. You watched the general conference? You watched the ladies' conference? You watched the gentlemen's conference of the LDS conference? All available now online, LDS.org. The videos, you can get the audio available for download now. Or if you're one that likes to print it out or just read it off of your computer, it's all available now. In addition to the 35 talks that were given during the 6 conference sessions, the conference, you can also go to LDS Media. Wait. Yeah, Media Talk, LDSMediaTalk.com, where it will be available in other languages. So available now in English at LDS.org, and LDSMediaTalk.com is where it is made available in the various languages.
So how about that? I'm raising
my hand. What?
I have a comment.
Yes, please.
Are you going to talk about the new format on LDS.org?
Talk to me.
It's awesome.
So let's talk about
What's
it.
What's the new format?
Seriously, go to LDS.org.
I'll go right now, but tell people about it.
Yeah. So I went into last week to try to find Elder Holland's talk, right?
Because who, that was like, yeah. The one.
Who hasn't?
That was for me, guys, not
totally,
for you, by the way.
The communications team over there has totally revamped the whole thing. Like, remember how it was like, you could see all the articles, you could see the audio, you could see the text, but now they have pictures.
Yeah.
You can search by day. Like, it's beautiful. It's so easy to use. It's user friendly. If you haven't been on there, go. I mean, if you forget who somebody, you know, a talk of, like, whoever it was, you can look at their picture. Oh, that's who that was. You know, I don't know. I'm guilty of that.
What did the prophet say at conference? That's the big one right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you go to the conference talks, like the general conference under, I don't know, I can't remember, is it under scriptures or something like that, in general conference talks, there's a whole brand new format. It's really cool. In fact, it's so cool, I even wrote them a thank you letter.
Really?
I'm passionate about this.
Yeah, prophetic teachings is what it's under. So if you go to scriptures and study, and then under prophetic teachings, you can go to general conference. Look at that. April 2016. Come here. This is actually pretty cool. Come over on this side.
I told you.
All of the pictures of it's like, oh, wait, I know the woman was blonde, like you were saying. Blonde woman. The afternoon session.
Yep. It's really neat. They did such a great job with it. I just have to give them props.
And there was a million talks in the afternoon session.
Yeah.
It's like you keep scrolling
and
down.
And the hardest
part
for me is, like, I don't remember who said what and where, and, like, I don't even remember. Everyone can, like, recall it. Like, oh, remember this elder's talk? And you're like, nope. I don't remember that, actually.
I remember I was eating popcorn.
Yeah. I had a Diet Coke.
I fell asleep before amen.
But that guy's voice was really droning, and so I just kind of zoned out.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Great.
Yeah.
That is great. That's great. Speakers. Oh, you can find it by speaker?
Yes, you can search speakers now.
You can search it by topics?
It's amazing.
It really is good. Yeah. Maybe I'll write a letter.
You
can find it by conferences. There's 91 conferences available.
Yep.
That's
they did a really great job.
So you can go back all the way to...
I went back and read a conference talk from 1971 just because I was curious.
That's where it goes back to.
It was quite prophetic.
I wonder if they'll have to stop having it go back. You know
they
what I'm saying?
They won't do all of them. I heard there was a cutoff because of, I don't
so
know,
like, they'll do
manpower.
The last, like, 55 years or something like
yeah.
that. Man.
Yeah.
Just because of what was said?
No. Nothing like that.
Because of what was said.
Because we're trying to hide it?
Because we kind of want to keep a secret.
No, I think it's just manpower. You work at the church and people want you to do everything. You're like, I've got to work on recent stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I was really looking for the fall conference talk. Although I do think that some of the conference talk from, like, early, you know, your 30s and 40s would be pretty cool. To be able
yeah,
to search.
I like to read them, like, the old ones and, like, see what was happening at the time in, like, world history and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And then, like...
Make some more relevant.
Yeah, and then compare it to, like, what they prophesied about and what's actually happening today. And, like, does some of that stuff correlate? And, like, I don't know. It's cool to me.
So what else? What else do you have? I've got a bunch of stories. That's what I've noticed at all my news... things today.
I actually have
they're
a
all
bunch
stories.
Of news. So
okay, hit
like
me. What else you got?
More like the update on the senior missionary who was hurt in the March 22nd Brussels airport bombing.
Yeah,
Elder Richard Noby, 66, of Lehi, my cousin's neighbor. I'm 1 degree away. He remains in intensive care unit of a Belgian hospital 17 days after the two bombs detonated near him in the airport's international departure hall as he stood next to three young missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
They say he's not healing as well as they had hoped.
Well, he has an infection now. I guess that's what they're saying. Add an infection to the list of complications for him. The first blast broke Elder Norby's left fibula and left heel and peppered him with shrapnel. He also suffered second-degree burns to his face, ears, sides of his head, leg, and the backs of his hands. And now the Norby family is saying he has an infection. So the progress is slower than we had anticipated, the family said. We're very grateful for the thoughts and prayers that continue to come on his behalf. We're looking forward to having him back in the United States and for continued care and recovery as soon as possible.
To kind of count. Oh, go ahead.
Well, there's him, and then there's also the missionary that came home.
The two younger elders came home and were being seen up at the University of Utah Hospital.
Yeah, and Joseph Dresden, Drez.
MP.
Joseph Dresden, MP, was released from the burn unit at the University of Utah Hospital earlier in the day. I don't know what day this article
April 6th,
was
Jesus' birthday.
Yep.
I was actually there that day.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but I volunteer up at the hospital in the burn unit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I got to meet him.
Pretty cool kid.
Yeah.
Why didn't you lead with that? Why'd you let me go through all that?
No, I wanted to hear what happened to Elder Norby. I've been waiting for him to come. Yeah, we go every Tuesday. And, you know, they had security there that day because of, you know, the situation and stuff, which was kind of weird. But at first they said, yeah, well, you're going to avoid these rooms. You know, they had like exits and their names, you know, on the board that not in the hallway, so we didn't even know which rooms really that they were in, but I suspected. And we started making the rounds. So I guess I should tell you, it's Musicians in Motion. We do music therapy in the hospital rooms, and we go room to room. And they heard that we were there and asked us to come in, and we got to meet him and his family. And this was like the day that he got there, I think, and he was already just so cool and grateful, and I didn't know he was a missionary, and so my musician was playing like total secular music.
Yeah.
I'm like, I apologized to his mom, and she's like, no, this is what he needs. Yeah. So it was really cool, and he was already released a day later and heard he went home, so that was really good news.
And he didn't get his phone number so we could interview him, huh?
I didn't know.
That was not on her radar.
I didn't know.
Shoot.
Well, let it be on your radar now.
Now I know. I know.
I'd like to sing to you, and can I have your telephone number so that we might interview you?
Use my connections.
They were being really like close-lipped with interviews and stuff too.
Yeah.
But he's home now. We can get him.
Yeah. Yeah. His mom, they were great. I mean, they were just so grateful to be back in the United States. They said it was just hard having French doctors and not, because the other patients, of course, were so much worse off than what the missionaries were. And so they weren't getting like the specific care like they got here in Utah. So it was pretty cool that they were back.
That's good.
Speaking of fires.
Oh, are you talking about that church?
Up in Vancouver, yeah. Mm. Authorities say that they believe a fire at a church in Vancouver, Washington, was intentionally set.
Jeez.
Firefighters responded to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Friday morning after men arriving for a basketball game found the pulpit on fire.
No.
Columbian, that is the newspaper in Vancouver, reports that crews arrived from a fire station around the corner from the church and were able to quickly put out the flames. Dave Schmidtke, the fire district spokesman, says that there was no major structural damage that occurred, only smoke. But the pulpit will need to be replaced, and police are investigating. But they believe that it was intentional.
Does that make you guys sad?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's all sorts of... you know, I don't see the story, but I know I printed it. There was the three churches in Hillsboro, Oregon, that were just vandalized.
And it was pretty bad.
That was a pretty fascinating story because I think all three churches were within the same stake. And if not, they were neighboring stakes. And the stake president and the people were like, hey, you know what? Whoever this is, let them come to church with us and find out, you know, what we're about.
No malice.
Huh. Yeah.
I like that.
Open doors. But yeah, in that particular case, like it was clerk's office and the cabinets were trash and computers and printers were broken. And
I didn't know that they were all three LDS churches.
Oh, really?
Is that?
I thought that they were, but perhaps.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I know that I saw pictures from what looked like at least two different clerk's offices, so I just assumed they were three different churches. But it could have been just religiously based altogether. But yeah, getting in and just destroying stuff. Like, for me, growing up, I would have never done that anyway, but like, there's that extra fear of God where it's like, hey, you know what? Like, you're doing it to a church house.
Yeah.
Like, there's that added level of, meh, you know what? I'll just do this mailbox, this nice secular mailbox right now. I'll smash that.
It's a sign. I've done that before. Yeah. I sometimes wonder, and I'm totally speculating here, if there's any sort of malice, you know, like I was raised this way and now I have these issues with it, you know, if there's like some sort of malice behind those stories.
In a lot of cases, there are certainly the ones here in the state of Utah. It seems that they're much more driven by people who my family made me go, or you know, everybody in my neighborhood is, and I hated them because they always, you know, didn't invite me to stuff.
Right. So there might be, I don't know if there's an element of that, but I always wonder those when I see those stories.
It'll be interesting to see if the kids end up going, because they were teenage kids.
That'd be a pretty cool story.
Right?
Yeah.
And ended up getting converted? That's the that's your Mormon folklore there.
Come on.
It'll happen.
Make it happen.
Come on, Spirit.
Let's go. On a lighter note, you guys saw the parody of Adele's Hello. It's up on our Cultural Hall Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just scroll back a few posts and you can see it. Yeah, a couple of guys, three guys from Provo, made a parody of Adele singing Hello, and they made it about their missions, basically, and like knocking on doors. And the singing is phenomenal in that. Right. It's sung by a guy.
You can get the song actually on iTunes. Have you heard it?
No, not yet.
I saw it
on the board. So are these actual missionaries or like return missionaries?
They're return missionaries. Okay. And it makes a point in the description of the YouTube video to say, that these guys did serve missions, but they're home now.
Okay.
One of my favorite things, and it's subtle, one of the guys that made the video, I think the cinematographer of it, his name is Marcus Joseph. And then one of the elders is something Smith. And so the production house that they formed is Joseph and Smith.
Oh.
And I thought that was really clever and, you know, very inside.
My husband's one criticism of that video was that he never got pie from investigators. Like, nobody invited him in to get pie.
Sad.
Like, maybe the members would have him over for cake and ice cream.
Right.
But not an investigator.
Where did your husband serve?
South. Houston South.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
People in Houston South don't eat pie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't eat pie.
You don't?
No.
Why?
Like a jambalaya in the South, people would invite you. A barbecue? Okay. I bet he had barbecue at people's houses.
He did. Bluebell ice cream.
Yeah.
That's where his love of Bluebell came from.
Yeah, that was so worth it. He doesn't need pie. He's got Bluebell.
Yeah. But the guy that was singing that, Parker Cressman, son of Rebecca Cressman.
Oh, is it really?
From FM 100.3. Midday host on FM.
I wondered, because the last name is
that's
very
her son.
Talented.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a good voice.
If you haven't checked it out yet, it really is good. If you're going to do a parody video of something with the church, it has to be that good or better.
Yeah. You have to have good singing, and it has to be a well-done video.
Yeah. It's shot so good.
Yeah. It was good. So well done, fellas.
So take that, all you crappy video makers.
Yes.
Over a million times. Over a million views.
Yeah.
As of today. So I heard.
I have a feeling it won't be the last.
Yeah, right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not from Joseph and Smith.
No.
I'm Joseph and Smith. What else do you have? What stories do you have, Kate?
You know, I'm just here for the background laugh track.
Okay.
So, I'm here to
You didn't want to bring
you.
Any stories?
I was a little busy at work today.
Oh, no. It kept looking like you had like one that you're like, well, I'm not sure. I'm a little.
I did these like a half an hour before, and I was like, Richie's going to kill me if I don't bring any stories.
Oh, you're right. I would. There would be death.
That's the only thing I did.
This, I think, is interesting. A carefully laid out map of Salt Lake City that was made on a sheepskin, created in 1847, is now on sale. It's on sale in New York City. Quote, I can't say it's unique to see an early layout of Salt Lake City, says LDS scholar Thomas G. Alexander, author of Grace and Grandeur, A History of Salt Lake City, but it looks like it's significant. There's no question for Rick Grunder, who bought the map in 2014 from the great-great-great-grandson of Jesse Fox Sr., Utah's territorial surveyor. After months of examining the sheepskin piece and studying journals and documents of the time, Grunder is certain that it is the earliest plat map of Salt Lake. It's the really first physical reality of Salt Lake City, says Grunder, a rare Mormon books and documents dealer in New York, before a single stake was driven into the ground. At 5 p.m. on the evening of the 28th of July, 1847, just 4 days after the first company of pioneers arrived, Mormon prophet Brigham Young directed LDS surveyor Henry G. Sherwood to draw the plot or plan. He carefully did so on a piece of rolled-out sheepskin about 21 and a half inches by 11 and a half inches, and he's got it in his possession, and it's going up for sale right now. Cohen won't say exactly how much, only that it's less of a book. It'll probably go for less than a Book of Commandments, which was the original Doctrine and Covenants. That's what it was called before they had the Doctrine and Covenants. It was called Book of Commandments, and it had different things in a different order. Which would probably command anywhere, the Book of Commandments would command anywhere from $1 million to $1.5 million. Grunder, who also doesn't know the price that Cohen has said, said that it's worth almost any price. In the 35 years I've been collecting Mormon documents, it's unquestionably the most valuable document that I've ever had. And it's just kind of cool. It's cool that it's that old, but it just, like, look at the picture of the map. It just looks like squares.
Yeah.
Like, draw a series of squares and then tell me what we're going to put on each square
block.
You said
it's on sheepskin?
Yeah, it's on sheepskin. Because what were they going to make it on back then? Paper? They're going to take some. They're going to take some butcher paper and roll out a map.
Why not?
Yeah,
that's normal.
The city blocks of
Salt Lake.
Of downtown Salt Lake. Cool, huh?
Written on sheepskin. I'm just curious why the map.
Well,
I'm stuck on the sheepskin.
It's able to last long. I don't know. You know what?
I want to know.
Here's who you need to ask. Jesse Fox Sr., but he's been dead for a whole long time.
All right. Well,
you can ask Rick Grunder. I love his app. What other stories do you have?
Tickets for the orchestra at Temple Square are on sale now, as of Tuesday, April
12th. Not on sale. You can get them for free now, right? Or are they on sale?
Sorry, did I say on sale?
Yeah.
I just meant they're available. They're in public forum now. Tickets for the orchestra at Temple Square and Temple Square Chorale's spring concert will be available Tuesday, April 12th at 10 a.m. So if you're listening past this time.
Yeah, that's tomorrow morning.
Yep. The concert will be Friday, April 28th and Saturday, April 30th at 7:30 at the Tabernacle and conducted by Ryan Murphy, Associate Music Director for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and conductor of the Temple Square Chorale.
Speaking of chorale, you ever seen the Genesis group?
No.
We've talked about the Genesis Project before, right?
Yeah.
But the Genesis Group is a choir that came about. The Genesis Group, a support organization created in 1971 for African-American Mormons and their families. Last year, the choir that from the Genesis Group, they're called the Genesis Singers. They're multi-ethnic. The choir became more polished and professional with the appointment of director Deborah Bonner, an expert voice coach and award-winning musician. As news spread of a multi-ethnic Mormon choir that crooned gospel tunes, invitations to perform poured in from many quarters. So Bonner and the other organizers faced a tough decision. Continue to be associated with an LDS congregation and perform in a limited sphere or become an independent nonprofit and travel more widely. They chose the latter, renaming their group One Voice International and receiving a generous check. The exact amount won't be disclosed from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to help launch it. Much like a seedling that is first grown in a little paper cup on a windowsill and then grows into a mighty tree, Eddie Gist, the first counselor in the Genesis branch leadership, said, "It is a miracle to see how the Genesis group has nourished the tiny seedling of the Genesis Gospel Choir and that it is now ready to become a tree." Now Bonner, the new nonprofit's president, has soaring ambitions for One Voice. She plans to take her singers to many LDS venues. They've already been invited to perform at BYU Women's Conference later this month and perform inside and outside of the country. Changing their name to a more neutral term also means that they can join with gospel choirs from other Christian churches. Some of which, Bonner said, believe that Mormons practice a foreign, even heretical faith. They will see that we have the same message. We love the Savior, who he is, and his atoning sacrifice. Being a nonprofit means that they can also accept donations, that they can also produce and sell CDs of its music, which can help finance the choir's travel.
How do I get the church to invest in my nonprofit? That's what I want to know.
I don't think they're going to.
I'll sign up for that.
Let's see. In general, the Mormons with their old European music are way behind, Bonner said. But young Latter-day Saints are not. They listen to pop music. The LDS Church cannot afford to be a step behind, said the Mormon convert of 35 years. To bring souls to Christ, we got to go where the people, music, and culture are. That's exactly what she's going to do with the One Voice International. Be cool to check that out. Maybe we should get someone on with One Voice International here in an episode. What do you think about that?
Neato, gang. Let's
right.
do it.
Neato, Pally. What other stories do you have?
I'm pretty out.
Okay.
I thought I actually read one earlier, but you can tell me if you want to hear it or not.
Yes, please.
Direct descendants of Mormon leader to sell historic revolver.
Talk to me. What's that? Yeah.
Guess. Whose revolver could it be?
Whose revolver would it be?
Joseph Smith?
Porter Rockwell.
Okay, I'll just tell you.
Brigham Young. Okay.
Yeah. So, Rock Island, Illinois, April 11, 2016. Direct descendants of early Mormon church leader Brigham Young will place the patriarch's personal Colt revolver up for sale as a flagship item at an Illinois firearms auction held at the end of this month. Any guesses about how much they're expecting it to go for?
$450,000 to $850,000
You were way off.
Revolver. Okay, the April 29th to May 1st sale will take place at Rock Island Auction Company, whose sales regularly attract collectors and investors from around the world. This is an iconic piece of Americana, says President Kevin Hogan of the RIAC. Its direct ties to the settling of the West and to the early Mormon church are incredible. Frankly, we're fortunate this piece isn't already housed in a museum. It's an unrivaled opportunity to own a newly discovered national treasure. And then it kind of gives a little background on the whole thing and everything. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Like, it was, let's see here. Yeah, they're selling other historic things, too, like the Winchester rifle presented to the men who captured Geronimo, a Colt revolver belonging to a pioneering Texas cattle baron, several revolvers decorated by Tiffany and Company. I mean,
cool.
It goes
blue
on.
Blue revolvers.
So they're bling.
I mean, yeah. They are.
Bling.
Yeah.
That's like, that's,
I'll buy one of those.
Revolver.
Yeah. I bet you
dropping.
Won't, based on how much they are.
Oh, yeah, that's
I bet you look at that and go,
How many massages do I have to give you in that one?
Yeah. All right, I got three stories. Do we want, you know what, I'm not going to give you the choice. I'm just going to read them to you.
Okay. Dictatorship. I see how this goes.
Well, I was going to say, do you want really inspirational? But I like the order that I've set out. So
he's still mad that he can't have children. Bear a child.
Yeah. I'm barren. I've got a kid.
Yeah, I would gladly give you the responsibility.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. You just told me earlier you wouldn't. Roll back the tape. You said there's no way you'd give me the responsibility of your child.
Oh, well, my child.
Yeah. This is a story about the Book of Mormon in the Harvard Library. 1978, when I was studying... What?
My brother went to Harvard.
Oh.
That's all. Continue.
Well, I was studying for my doctorate. I spent a lot of time in the library at Harvard, the Widener Library. Did your brother spend a lot of time there?
Probably.
Searching obscure literature on tropical rainforest ecology. The Widener Library, which is at Harvard, is second in America only to the Library of Congress in the number of volumes and is a wonderful resource for scholarly studies. After a long day of working in the library, I decided to take a break to see if they had any books about my church. The librarian at the reference desk kindly gave me the call numbers. I went up the elevator into the shelves. I was amazed by the numbers of books, both pro and con, and on the shelves about the church. A small dusty volume on an upper shelf caught my eye, and I pulled it down. To my amazement, what I found was a second edition of the Book of Mormon.
Whoa.
When I looked at the front pages, I saw that it was inscribed as, quote, "A Gift to Harvard College" by Brigham Young.
No way.
The City of the Great Salt Lake.
Pair that with the revolver, and you got yourself
right.
quite a
That's
gift.
That's a cool
there.
Mill right yeah. there. Easy. Excited by his find, I went down. Excited by this find, I went back down the elevator to the reference desk to see if I could check the book out. I wanted to show Brigham Young's signature on the Book of Mormon to my wife, Barbara, and our two small children, Emily and Paul Matthew. The librarian told me that I could indeed check out the book, but when she went to stamp the due date at the back of the book, she stopped. There is no circulation paper here. I will have to glue one in. When she returned, I asked her if that meant the book had never been checked out. Correct, she said. This book has never been circulated. She stamped the book. I exited the massive front doors of the Widener Library and descended the long stone steps. I crossed Harvard Yard towards my small graduate student office in the basement of the biological laboratories, passing en route some of the world's most advanced and expensive laboratories. I thought of the 130 years that this copy of the Book of Mormon I carried had sat on the shelves untouched, collecting dust, until a young Mormon student finally saw it. As I thought of the extraordinary truth of the Book of Mormon, the impact that it had on my life and that of my family, Paul's prophecy to Timothy came to mind. In the last days, people would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So kind of an interesting story, right?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And kind of sad that it sat on the shelf for 130 years.
But to be fair, it was like way up high. So it was like kind of hidden. Yeah. Right?
Well,
like,
and the other thing is,
step stool to get it.
The other thing that I thought was sort of odd about that story is like, yeah, okay, so it's a second edition. Yeah, go ahead and add a paper into it and then stamp it.
Right. It took off like $200,000 in value at that point.
It was dark the first time that Brittany Fisher and a friend decided to rappel from St. George's Cougar Cliffs. It was so dark that she had no idea just how high the cliff's edge was from the ground beneath. That night in March 2012, while on a spring break trip with her friends, Fisher, then a cross-country runner at Utah State, fell. What she later learned was about 100 feet while rappelling in southern Utah. She was left paralyzed from the waist down. Last month, Fisher and 8 to 10 volunteers returned to the same cliff, but this time she could see everything clearly. She could see just how tall the cliff was. She remembered where she sat as her friend hooked everything up to the night of the accident. While these memories may seem traumatic and harrowing, Fisher said that she felt peace. Everyone was really nervous about how they were going to feel that day, Fisher said, like if it was going to bring up anger or frustration. And really, it was just a peaceful day for everyone, which really was confirmation that God is in the details of our lives and that he can turn trial into triumph. Fisher returned to the cliff to finish what she started 4 years earlier. Finishing the rappel was something that Fisher, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has wanted to do since her fall. But it began to materialize in 2014 when she first returned to Cougar Cliffs. She and a couple of friends were on their way to California, and Mike Thomas of the Washington County Search and Rescue, who was part of the team that rescued Fisher the night of her accident, arranged to drive her out to the scene of her accident. It was then and during that visit that she mentioned she would like to complete the descent that she once attempted. Thomas and his fellow volunteers began planning and ended up coming together just in time for the fourth anniversary of her accident. Fisher said that if she could go back in time, she wouldn't have done things the way that she did that night in 2012. She would have worn the gloves that would have prevented her hands from burning as the rope slid through her palms, causing her to let it go entirely. I would definitely have taken those precautions, Fisher said, but I definitely see that in these 4 years, more with that eternal perspective, the things I've learned, the lessons I've had to learn in a very painful, long, and slow process, I'm grateful for what I've learned. Not necessarily grateful for how I've learned it, but I don't know how else I could have learned it this intensely or fully without going through what I've gone through. This time, the volunteers who saved Fisher's life had prepared for months, and everything was ready when she arrived at the cliff. They gave her a new pair of gloves. They also had ropes set up and men waiting for her at the bottom. It was harder than it was last time because her legs don't work as well. Fisher's regained some mobility, enough to walk with braces and splits between her braces and a wheelchair. But she soon found herself scooting her body to the edge where, for a moment, fear began to set in. She pulled her legs over the edge and began to gradually descend. This time, she was in complete control all the way down. I wanted to go back and show people that with the right equipment, it can be done. Every year around the time of my accident is just a little sentimental, and this is part of my life. It's part of me getting around every day. I'm always going to live with injury and all that has come with it, and those memories, but I've learned to not let it rule my life and take over. This time, the Washington County Search and Rescue team who came to her rescue on the night of her accident was there with her from the start to finish, making sure that she was safe all the way to the bottom of the cliff. Fisher has kept in touch with the search and rescue crew and said that they share a special relationship. She never doubted their genuine care and concern for their well-being. Fisher's family members who've been by her side throughout this entire experience and her now fiancé, Trevor Frank, were also waiting at the bottom for her. Quote, we were able to have a prayer before we went out to the cliff just on the side of the road there as a family. And it's really cool because it's been a journey for everyone. Even though a lot of it seems like it's been weighing on me, your parents love you so much and want to take away any heartache and trial. So it's been a really humbling experience to learn the Lord's will together. I truly have been through the fire the last 4 years, Fisher said. Sometimes the heat has been more intense than at other times, and sometimes it seemed unbearable. And yet, somehow I got through it, and it only enlarged my soul and enlarged my ability to empathize and love and feel gratitude. So, it's a great story. There's more to it, obviously. You can read it at theculturalhall.com. But I think it's pretty cool to be able to go back and face your fears like that, because I don't know that everyone would do it.
Well, I can't relate to her injuries, and I can't relate to living with a hardship like that, but I can relate to my own trials and that, you know, when you go through hard things, you do everything you can to not feel that pain again, learn your mm-hmm. lesson and not feel that again, whether it's physical or emotional. And yeah, you do have to do it again, like mm-hmm. to kind of conquer it almost.
Pretty empowering.
Yeah.
I've got one more story and then we'll finish this off. At an early morning seminary class on August 21st, 2015, Nate Ford was asked by his seminary teacher, Sister Moss, to list five things that were his core values or that would define his legacy if he were to leave the earth that day.
Oh, that's an anxiety-ridden question.
How old is this guy?
It's seminary class, so high school.
Oh, that's a deep question.
This list, hardworking, member of the church, American, parentheses, patriotic, loyal, and trustworthy. It turned out that that would be the last testimony that Nate Ford shared before leaving this life at only 16 years old. Oh. After leaving his seminary class, Ford's truck was T-boned by a semi-truck at 7:30 a.m., and Ford did not survive. Mm. The loss devastated the community in Maricopa, Arizona, particularly those at Maricopa High School. He was so sweet. He was such a gentleman. He always had a big heart. He just talked to everybody, and he was just a good person, and he would always find a way to make you better. While searching through his truck, Ford's parents, Jennifer and Doug, discovered something that they hadn't known about their son, that he always kept a pair of unworn athletic shoes in his truck. It wasn't until later that his parents discovered the purpose behind these new shoes. As it turned out, Maricopa High School has 411 homeless students. Apparently, Nate kept those shoes in his truck in case a teammate from the football team ever needed a pair of shoes. Touched by their son's strong testimony and selfless, quiet service, Doug and Jennifer Ford set out to help others and follow his example. Quote, "We're just trying to do what Nate would want us to do. We're trying to make it so that he didn't just die, but that he still lives, and that people can figure out a way to do good." Jennifer began to rally the moms in her area to gather supplies for the homeless in Maricopa, and soon the group Mothers of Everyday Heroes was formed. The group takes Nate as their inspiration, saying his small, genuine acts of kindness have inspired them to make, quote, "a difference in their own communities and through meaningful and compassionate service." They also reflect his same core values: hardworking, faithful, patriotic, loyal, and trustworthy. Going a step further, Ford's parents created a nonprofit organization, Rocking 4D Foundations, with those same values and the motto, "What type of legacy will you leave behind?" While Ford's time on Earth may have been short, he still managed to uplift and inspire hundreds to make the world a better place and to live strong, faith-filled values. Quote, "My wife said that a person's life is not based on the last 30 seconds of their life," Doug Ford told Good Deed Revolution. "It's based upon what they did their entire life, and Nate impacted the lives of people around him since he was a little boy."
Great story.
Yeah. Right? Really great stories. Yeah. Sometimes we end on a downer. I'm glad we didn't do that tonight.
No, that's a good one.
It's story time with Richie.
Yeah. That's it. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
Why are you guys looking at me?
Your turn.
Do you have one?
Think of the clichéest cliché you can find. How about moisture? Thank for the moisture.
We're so thankful for the moisture.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.